Welcome to Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
I'm so excited to bring the word this Father's Day. We have an opportunity before us to celebrate, take these moments, particularly on a Sunday, and celebrate amazing men who are doing a phenomenal job, seen and unseen, heard or unheard of, visible and invisible, but also being mindful that for many people this might be a day of great pain. But because we are in the house of the Lord, and because we have a perfect Heavenly Father, there is hope for even those who are unable to join in celebration. And that is why the gospel is good news for everybody. This is not just for the few. This is not for the select few who call themselves holy and believers, but it's for everybody. So if you've got your Bibles with you, would you turn with me to Luke chapter 15? We're going to quickly read. Time is running away, and I had a big passage to read. So what I'm going to do is tell you where I'm reading from, and then keep God as witness and hope you would go and read the rest of it. Right. Luke chapter 15, verse 11 to 32. I'm going to speed read as much as possible. And he said, there was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the youngest son gathered all he had, which means he consolidated all the property as cash, and took a journey into a far, far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in the country, and he began to be in need. No money, no friends. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a long way off, important point to note, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now his oldest son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, look, your brother has come and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father and not even said, look, Dad. He said, look, these many years I have served you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, he doesn't say when this brother of mine, he said, when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, son, you're always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and meet land, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is now found. The context for the passage is Jesus is sitting and teaching and ministering to the masses. The sinners are flocking to him. They're drawn to his compassion. They're drawn to his profound unpacking of the kingdom of God and this new way, this upside down world where it was not about how many rules you kept. It was about the state of your heart. And as they drew to him, they were eating with him. The Pharisees sat there grumbling because there was a bit of noise and commotion amongst the Pharisees, they said, he eats with sinners. Does he not keep himself clean? And too often we rush through this story thinking that this story is about the rotten sinner who went and destroyed everything he had and has now come to his senses and is back in the Father's house. But when you read this story in its full context, you recognize the entire chapter talks about that which was lost now being found through a merciful God. The sheep that was lost when 99 were in safety, the shepherd who goes in search of the one lost sheep, the woman who had lost of the 10 precious coins that she had, the drachma, which means it was equivalent to one day's wage. She had lost it. She emptied her whole house, swept it up, and found that coin that was lost. Then Jesus comes to this parable and talks about the son that was lost. But in this text, towards the end, it leaves us with a very important question to unpack. There's not just one boy who is lost, there are two. One went far away and was lost. One was so close and so near, yet so far. He had slaved away for his father's approval, but he never captured the father's heart. And so this morning, I want to talk to you on the subject, lost and found, protesting on the porch. Because when I was in this word, I felt a conviction of the Holy Spirit upon my own heart. Yes, there have been times when I have wild away and run away. There was a time when I ran away from church, from fellowship, didn't believe in God, didn't believe in the church. I could not digest how a loving God would do some things like this. And I run away. I had my prodigal son experience. But when I started reflecting on it, I felt, and I must confess, that I have spent more time of my life being the eldest son, being in the armchair of self-righteousness than being a prodigal son and away. And I felt that this morning, I just felt the prompting of the Holy Spirit for this morning, that I have behaved like an older son and sat and wondered, mercy for me, judgment for thee. And so I want to take us on a journey, quick journey, on how we can examine our own hearts and ask the Lord for his help to avoid the pitfall of self-righteousness. Okay? First thing that I want to commit to you, and you read this in this parable, the question we ask ourselves is this: is our joy tied to our own spotlight? You see, the elder brother, his brother had left. There's no mention of him trying to stop his younger brother from doing something foolish. There's no mention of his young elder brother being with the father, grieving for the loss of the younger brother. But it says when he returned, the elder brother was out in the fields, laboring, working hard. Onward Christian soldier, marching on to war. He was keeping the place going. He was keeping the place up, you know, upkeeping the place. But the minute he came to the house and he heard the sound of celebration and he heard there was a festivity, he could not digest it. He was angry. He was angry because he considered this fellow who belongs on the street is now inside the house. This undeserving candidate, this person who doesn't need to be inside my house is now in this house. He couldn't go in. He couldn't gather himself up to go inside his own house because he believed his brother should have lived the consequences of his action, be an outcast forever. See, I grew up in a very traditional, conservative Christian home and an environment where one of the things that were drilled into us from an early age is everything that is done in the house of the Lord, let it be done in an orderly fashion. And that means who determines the order? People do. They recognize and they tell you, oh, that's too loud of worship. That's not this and you shouldn't sing that song. And you shouldn't wear this dress and you shouldn't do that. And you shouldn't have your hair like a mullet. And you shouldn't have all that stuff. Because everything in the house of the Lord has to be in order. And over the years, over the last 20-something years of navigating ministry and being, in ministry, I've felt like the work of sanctification, God's been chipping away what's been pre-built and predetermined, like molds that have been set in the heart. God's been chipping away with his little hammer. There was this one time, remember those days when we used to have long late night revival meetings in this place? And to be honest with you, I was just hungry. And I was just angry. I just wanted to go home. I didn't want to be here singing the same song for the 17th minute. And I just wanted to go home. And in the middle of this tiredness, depleted state, so one of the sisters, really giggling and rolling on the floor, giggling. And I'm a good pastor. I just let it go to the keeper for a few minutes. And she couldn't stop giggling for a good 15 minutes. And I was like, she's weird. She can't even breathe, but she's laughing. And no sooner had I said that, I felt the prompting of the Holy Spirit saying, you don't have a clue what she's been through. You don't have a clue what I've redeemed her from. Yeah. You're quick to pass judgment, Joe. Yeah. And in that moment, I was like, God, she can laugh all she wants. Perhaps I'll also join her and encourage her in laughing all the more. But you see, when we, part of the self-evaluation exercise we're doing through this passage is, am I joyful when someone else gets promoted? Am I joyful when the spotlight is on someone else? Am I joyful when that person got their blessing and not me? Am I joyful, or do I default into a thinking or a mindset, maybe God doesn't love me enough? Maybe God loves me less and loves that person over there more. And this is the pitfall of self-righteousness, because it takes the posture of I must do and I have done enough to earn this, whereas that person hasn't. How many marriages have been destroyed and families destroyed? How many cities have been ruined and nations at war because someone could not handle the celebration of another? You see, the first murder committed in the Bible is when an elder brother could not handle the love and the affirmation of God upon his younger brother's offering. And we read in John chapter 3, 29, 30, it says, the disciples of John the Baptist came with an urgent message to John the Baptist and said, Rabbi, there's a dude out there baptizing other people. John's like, I know. But here's the real problem, Rabbi. He is baptizing way more people than you are. And John the Baptist said in these amazing words, this my joy is now made complete. For I must decrease and he must increase. Question we are asking ourselves today is our joy attached to our own celebration? Or are we still joyful when someone else there on row number 16 is being celebrated? The second question we're asking this morning is, do we feel the need to invoice our righteousness? You see, when the older brother has a tantrum, he wouldn't go inside. This loving father comes out and entreats with him. I didn't know what the word entreat meant. Here's your Google definition. Entreat means earnestly plead, beseech, or make a sincere or urgent request. What a humble man. But as he's entreating with him, the elder son's response is to open the scroll and read the record of his clean track record of performance. The number of years of faithful service. I've taken very little sick leave, Dad. I've obeyed every commandment. I've dotted the I's, crossed the T's, never took a day off to party, never went to the Gold Coast. I never this and never that, and never drank or never did any of this stuff. And a fortnight ago, I preached on the subject of sanctification. Sanctification is the process whereby God produces more Christ-likeness in us. We are transformed from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. Yes, our holiness and our glory, reflecting the glory of God, is increasing into an ever greater measure. However, we do not boast in our righteousness. One of the greatest men who wrote about sanctification is the Apostle Paul. As he journeyed his own life on earth, after his dramatic encounter and conversion, he writes in 1 Timothy 1:15, I am the chief among sinners. Not that Paul was the worst among sinners, but as he was traversing the journey of sanctification here on earth, he became more conscious of the amazing, extravagant love and the grace of God upon his life and how little and futile his own efforts amounted to. Third thing that we're asking is this. In our self-evaluation of self-righteousness, does God's lavish mercy and grace offend our sense of fairness? You see, the brother's attitude, the elder brother's attitude echoes most of our human sentiment. God, mercy for me, judgment for him. Because we live in a merit-based system, and particularly in our nation, we are famous in articles and books and studies have been done about how in our nation we have a tall poppy syndrome. That guy gets promoted or that lady gets promoted over there for undue reasons or unmerited reasons. We will hunt them down like a pack of wolves at feeding time. You look at social media. I feel like the social media is like the hunting grounds and almost like the public square where people stone people to death. They have no hesitation to ruin somebody's reputation for one careless word. There is nothing called grace on social media. And the best advice I could give from this platform could be this to the younger people: get off social media. Be social, but get off social media. Many churches today don't even celebrate Father's Day or Mother's Day. You know why? Because it, out of fear, it may offend someone else who grew up in a home where there was a crazy father or a terrible mother. Or worse still, if I only promote or celebrate or applaud three or four dads, will all the other dads think, you think I'm doing a terrible job? But this is where it comes into this God's family, God's home, where we celebrate God pouring out his lavish grace and his mercy and kindness on someone else. We ought to be a church, we ought to be a people, we ought to be a family of God, that we are ready to be the biggest cheerleaders when the lost walk in through our doors. That our first response is not scanning them like the Terminator, but we look at them and it's like, today is the day of salvation. And it doesn't matter whether you're near to God or far away from God, because the Bible says he came to us who were near and those who were far. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17 to 19, it says, he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him, only by Jesus Christ, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household and family of God. Last question we ought to ask in examining ourselves this morning is this. Is our heart's default setting optimism or skepticism? You see, the older brother refused to address his sibling as his brother. He said, this son of yours. And then he proceeded to draw a sharp contrast between his younger brother's life of rebellion and tainted living. And then he presented his unblemished record. Look how neat and tidy my resume is. This fellow, his life can be summed up in one page of failure. My resume has 25 pages. I'm not saying mine, but I'm saying in the story. And this is what we got to be careful about. He makes a claim that the younger brother had devoured the inheritance on prostitutes. And I know this is a parable, but hang on for just a second. The guy hasn't even entered the house. How do you know what he spent his money on? Made me think. The question we're asking ourselves in this particular point is, Do we believe the best about others? Or do we always jump to the worst case conclusion or the worst case scenario of everybody? In John chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, Jesus and his disciples were passing by a man that is recorded as being blind from birth. I love this story because the disciples instigate this conversation and ask Jesus, Rabbi, whose fault is it? Did he sin or his parents? The guy is blind for crying out loud's sake, from birth. But they wanted to make a point, is this guy's illness, is his condition associated with his own shortcoming or the shortcoming of his parents? And what did Jesus answer? Neither. He said, this is an opportunity for the kingdom of God to be glorified. So here's my encouragement to all of us. I know I feel like the oxygen's left this room. But I know it's something for us to grapple and discuss and unpack in our own homes. But here's the question. Whether we find ourselves in the rock bottom of life longing for a second chance, or we find ourselves living atop Mount Christianity, where we all love, where everything is fine and rosy, or whether you're all lost without the love, forgiveness, I'm here to encourage, whether you are on that mountaintop or on that valley low, we all need the love, the forgiveness, the mercy, and the kindness of God, without which both our lives are empty. Whether you find yourself as a horrible sinner, unworthy of the love of God, or whether you find yourselves to be, I am righteous, I've been here and I've done everything right for 80 years, you still need the love, the forgiveness, the kindness, and the grace of Jesus Christ. You cannot enter on your own merit. I believe there is a danger in being lost. But I feel that the greater danger is in not knowing you're lost. As the elder brother in this parable shows, that a person does not have to feel lost to be lost. One can be estranged from God right on home soil. And if you forget the rest of the message, I want to leave you with this thought. Only amazing grace can save the horrible sinner and the decent rule keeper. We're both lost without the love of the Father in heaven. I'm going to invite the worship team to join us this morning. I want us to examine our hearts. All eyes closed. Just examine yourself. And even as you go into this week, ask the Lord, God, do I come across in your sight, not in the sight of man? No one's looking, no one's gauging, no one's assessing you, no one's putting you through scrutiny. But in God's eye, do you come as an ambassador of mercy, or do you come across as an adjudicator of condemnation? Because the story this Father's Day we're leaning in is not about the sons, it's about the loving Heavenly Father. Jesus, through this parable, spoke about how heaven would respond to a wretch like me. How heaven would respond to someone armchair critiquing like me. And I want us to be in a place where our hearts are pure before the Lord. Our motives are pure before the Lord. The word of the Lord says, God searches the hearts of all men. And he even knows not just the thought, but also the motive behind the thought. If you're sitting here in this room, and you're saying, Pastor Joe, I've never had an opportunity to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I want my life to be like the story of this prodigal son. I consider myself unworthy. I consider myself unclean. I consider myself beyond redemption. But if this God of the Bible you're preaching about is real, I want to receive him. And if you're sitting in this room and saying, I'm not walking out of this place until I have an assurance that God has heard my prayer. We would love to pray with you in this moment. So while all eyes are closed, while the whole church is praying for you, if you're that person, would you be brave like that young boy in this story? Would you come to the Father? Would you raise up your hand and say, please include me in this prayer, in this moment? If that is you, would you be brave enough and hold your hand nice and high for me? I'd love to pray with you in this moment. Is there anybody here who wants to be included in that prayer? Is there anybody here who's saying, I've received Jesus once upon a time. I knew him. I went to church. I had Christian parents. I didn't know what I was doing, but I walked away. I'm far away. Would love to include you too in this prayer, in this moment. If that is you, would you slip up your hand in this moment? We'd love to pray with you. Say anybody here. I see that hand, brother. Thank you, Jesus. Is there anyone else in this moment? Okay. We're going to pray for this amazing man, this brother of ours together. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And I'd love for you to join with me and this brother in this prayer. Dear Father, thank you for this parable that reminds me that the Father in heaven is unlike the fathers on earth. He's got his hand stretched out wide. This morning, I receive him, Jesus Christ, as my Lord and Savior. I recommit my life to this Savior. The old has gone, the new has come. Thank you for receiving me. Thank you for forgiving me. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Church, would you stand with me this morning? What we're going to do is this. I don't want to embarrass anybody, bring you out to the front. But if you want to come to the front for prayer in this moment, you're more than welcome. We'd love to pray for you. But wherever you're standing, heaven is... There are times when you actually take a step of faith and get out and respond to an altar call. But I also believe that wherever you're standing, if you have an open heart, heaven responds to your faith. So you're standing in that place. You want to just say, Lord, make me more like that Father. Make me more like a person of mercy. Make me more as a person of peace. Make me more a person of grace and joy and kindness and forgiveness. And if there's any part of me that resembles that elder brother, Lord, would your kindness lead me to repentance? And so would you stretch out your hand, just engage with the Spirit of the Lord that is in this place. He's here to mend hearts, heal hearts. He's here to fix our hearts. He's here to love on us. He doesn't condemn us. There is therefore no shame, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So we receive the Father's love in this moment, even as the team leads us in worship right now.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.